Well, good morning, everybody. We'll go ahead and get started. Are there any special announcements today? Yes, ma'am.
Debbie told me that please, all the mothers, take a flower and a goodie when you're leaving after church today.
It's always good to be in the house of God. Sometimes we get up in the mornings and realize we have a choice. We can go to church or we can stay home. I just make a choice to be here. I was thinking about this promise that the Lord made this week. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I like that promise. He's made a way for us. He's made a way.
He's right. Birthday ghost showed up. There's treats back there.
Now, did anybody sing happy birthday last weekend? Okay. Okay, our call to worship this morning is taken from the book of Psalms, verses 1 through 5. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who hath made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And that's a mighty long time. Thank you, Father, for another day. Thank you, Father, for your privilege to be here, to hear your word. May your Holy Spirit move in the midst and be with those who are not here today, Lord God, that we sense your presence, Lord God, and that we are in the midst of you, Lord God, that you allow us to be here and to have a choice. Father, I just ask for your presence to flood our hearts, flood our minds, let your spirit and your word challenge us, strengthen us and help us to grow. And also that you would bless the finances, Lord God, that they would go for your intended work. Thank you for the gift and the giver, that they would be pleasing to you, Father. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, and may your spirit have the preeminence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, we can start now. I can do the prelude.
Okay.
With her, and all she'll do, give her your.
I don't think we give our moms the credit they deserve for putting up with all of our bad stuff, do they, Brother Frank? When you come from a large family, it's hard to show how much love a mother has when you need a shoulder to cry on or your heart's been broken or you just need someone to talk to. Mothers are there. God created mothers for a reason. We have to thank God for our parents and for our mothers because they spend more time with most children than the dads because they're out working. But when God created a mother, he created someone special. And I thank God for that. Are there joys and concerns? Oh, okay, if you got a hymn.
Yeah, I got a hymn.
I'm lost here.
The words are going to be on the screen, so just follow the words.
He lead me, O Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's like another old hymn, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. So I guess we're on to... Do you have any more before we get into...
No.
Okay. Joys and concerns. Yes, sister.
I have a text here from Debbie. She said to tell everyone that Ricky has two tubes in him to drain the fluid off, doing a little bit better, but he does hurt. She said tell everyone thanks for their prayers for the Baker family.
Hey, do you have an address for him that you can put a reward?
I don't right now, but he's in York Hospital.
Yes, sir. Any others?
I'm going to continue to keep my wife in prayers and all others that's in our church and surrounding areas that's been having medical issues. Pray for them. I know last Sunday I mentioned a couple of them that was in my class. I want to continue to pray for them. And also, we want to remember the leaders of our land and nation that they will put their faith in the Lord and ask the Lord for wisdom and knowledge and guiding us through life here on earth.
Any others? Sometimes we go through life and we get to these moments where we have a physical scare. And it tests your faith. And the ultimate healer is God. Man sometimes can't cure everything. So at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. He already knows before we pray, before we ask. We thank you, Father, for another day. We thank you, Father, as we come before you humbly, Lord, to lift that request up to you, that you are the ultimate healer and the provider. Lord, for Bob and Linda, and for Ralph and Debbie, and for Jerry, and for the church, and for Danny and his requests, and for Sister Faye's request, and for all the mothers today, Lord God, lift them up to you, Lord God, that without our mothers, Lord God, where would we be? Father, that you've given them a special type of love and grace and mercy and the forgiveness that you gave them, Lord God, to show unto us, Lord, that we are to forgive one another. Lord, I know that you're able to meet each request, Lord God, and for the request for our nation, that your Holy Spirit would move in the midst. And Father, I just thank you and praise you, Lord, for each request. I know that you've already seen the results, Lord God, of the victories that are in the horizon, Lord. And Father, I just thank you that sometimes, Lord, the load gets long and heavy, that you are a burden bearer. And for the times, Lord God, when it seems there is no way, that you make a way. And it seems, Lord God, when the tears don't stop falling, Lord, because of pain, that you are able, Lord God, to heal that which is broken. And Father, I just lift up all the teenagers, Lord God, who are without homes, Lord God, and who are living on the streets, Father, that you would send someone their way, Lord God, to reach out to them, Lord God, and let them know that you love them and that there is a place for them in your kingdom. Father, I just praise you and thank you for all these requests and for each one that you will answer, Lord God, in your special way, Father. And I just ask that you would continue to bless this church and for those who are sick in body today, Lord, that you would move on their behalf. That you would touch them, Father, and meet their need. And help those, Lord God, who are just hurting and struggling, for those who have lost everything in fires and floods and earthquakes, Lord, that you would help them, Lord God, to rebuild their lives. And Father, that you would send the Holy Spirit to comfort them in their times of loss. And as we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. 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 Houston, we have a problem. So, I guess we're ready for our next hymn. See, we can have fun in church. Our scripture reading from today, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was supposed to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had mind to divorce her quietly. At this time, Brother Sam.
I just want to say, Debbie just texted me back and she said that he should be coming home Monday or Tuesday.
Well, I guess you think that old fellow from Thurmont has really gone off his rocker. He's preaching a Christmas message on Mother's Day. Well, we're going to go beyond, because generally the Christmas is the birth of Christ. We're going to go a little bit further than that. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for our mothers. Thank you for those who raised us, put up with us, taught us the things of the Lord. And many of them are with you now, the ones on earth. May we honor and thank you for them. Bless now as we spend time in your word, in Christ's name. Amen. So we're looking at Mary, the lessons of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we begin, as the Bible does, not in priority, because this is not the most important, but the Bible begins with the birth of Jesus was on his wife. How did it start? How did it happen? When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. That's how the Bible starts. It talks about Mary was espoused. Now, in the Hebrew marriage context, it's a lot different than the English in America. Generally, courtship, engagement, diamond ring, and then a wedding. Now, in American culture, engagements can be broken. A marriage is actually a legal document. When I do a wedding, after the wedding, for a brief moment, I become a government official. Because I signed that wedding certificate that's recorded in the courthouse. And there's things about ministers. There's deadlines. When I do a wedding, the state needs that in their office within a certain amount of time. So a wedding in our culture is binding. An engagement is not. Both my wife and me were engaged to other people the year before we met. She broke hers, I broke mine. It's a matter of getting the diamond back, it's over with. But in the Hebrew context, it's not that way. When she was betrothed, that was a legal binding relationship as much as our English marriage would be. Then the groom would go and prepare a place for her. Didn't Jesus mention that? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. So in Hebrew custom, it would be the groom would leave and he would prepare a place, come back in about a year. But you don't know the day nor the hour. You see where I'm going with that? We don't know when he's coming back. Now, the bride then, the lady, she is to purify herself. He's preparing a place. They're not going to live in mom and dad's basement forever. Both of our children, after they're married, live with us for a period of time because their house was getting prepared. And it took a few months. We had a downstairs almost a compartment, apartment. So the kids were there for a little bit, but not forever. He is preparing a place. She's to keep herself pure. They had not come together, as you see in the text here. She was espoused. She was found with child before they came together. So they did not have relations until after the marriage ceremony. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. It's part of my second point, but I'll mention it here. When the angel came and told Mary that she's going to be with child of the Holy Spirit, and that'd be my second point, and we'll deal with that. Luke says something interesting. She went for 3 months and visited her cousin Elizabeth. So I'm thinking back here when it says she was found. How are you going to find out? Well, when a lady is pregnant, eventually it's going to become obvious. When my wife and I, with our first one, we said nothing to the congregation about one's on the way until some of the ladies said to Jackie, when are you going to wear your hatchet jacket? Thinking, how'd you know? They knew. So Joseph maybe found out. Now, talking with Joseph, her husband, a just man, not willing to make a big fuss about this, was minded to put her away privately and just calmly take care of this thing. Now, you wives, you're sitting here right now and you're saying, my husband is a trusting husband. He'll believe anything I tell him. Try this. You live here in Rocket Ridge area. Holy Spirit comes to you, says, you're going to be with child. And you're going to visit your cousin in West Virginia for 3 months. And you come back and you tell your husband, honey, I have wonderful news. I was of seed from the Holy Spirit. And he will say, praise the Lord. Really? You in West Virginia and you're pregnant? And it's not me? And it's the Lord? What I'm saying is this. At this point, Mary had to just wait what her husband's going to do. There's nothing she can say. There's nothing that she could prove that this was here. So the rest of this Matthew passage tells us that while he's thinking, well, then what am I going to do with this woman? The same angel that came to Mary had to come to Joseph. Ladies, it would take an angel to convince your husband of that story. He'd never believe 3 months in West Virginia and you're pregnant and it's not me, it's the Lord. It's not going to be that way. It took Joseph to have that angel come down and say, fear not, that which is in her of the Holy Spirit. And following the rest of the passage, he says, you're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so the last verse, it says, he knew not. It says, being raised from sleep, he did as the angel had bidden him and took unto him his wife, knew or not, she had brought forth her son, called his name Jesus. Now, why I'm putting some emphasis on this, I really get irritated at ministers on Christmas that say Jesus was born to a homeless, single girl. Neither is right. What I'm telling you is Jesus was born into a family, a husband and wife. The importance of a home. Adam and Eve, family. Mary and Joseph, family. The Old Testament begins with Adam and Eve. And they sin. New Testament, Mary and Joseph. And Jesus is going to save us from our sins. So see where I'm going with this thought? That Joseph took Mary and they were legally married, but he did not come have relations with her at that time. So Jesus was born in a family. Now, my second point, we're going over to Luke, some things in Luke where he explains how this happened, that she conceived seed. Luke chapter 1, verse 38 gives us a start. We'll get to that in just a little bit. So here's Gabriel comes and talks to her, introduces 6 months Gabriel came to the city to a virgin, a spouse, to a man named Joseph. Here we are with the wedding, with the relationship. The house of David, virgin name was Mary. And so the angel begins to explain what is going to happen. You're highly favored. God's going to work in you. And so what I find in the first part of this, the angel explained what's going to happen. But in verse 34, as the angel was talking this thing, Mary's thinking, oh, wait a minute, I'm married. At this point, the word Joseph doesn't come along. I'm going to be with child. How's this going to happen? So Mary says in verse 34, Mary said unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? She's still a virgin. So the angel explained in great detail, and Dan's going to tell us what it's all about in Luke 1, 35 to 37, 38.
And the angel answered and said to her, Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word.
So the angel had said earlier, Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and shall bring forth a son, call his name Jesus. And she didn't hear Joseph's name at all. How's this going to be? So now the Lord explains how this is going to happen. A virgin will conceive. Again, a lot of people say the word virgin means young woman. Is it a miracle that a young woman conceives? Happens millions of times. A virgin means one has not had relations with a man, but conceives. So it has to do with her, the uniqueness of Mary. And she's thinking, how can that be? How can this thing be? And so God gives an illustration. Elizabeth, she has conceived a son in her old age. Now, I don't know how old that is. I know my mother was 41 when I was born. So I think at 41, the clock is kind of winding down. But Sarah's clock has stopped. Put it bluntly there. So God is saying to Mary, I can do this. Look at Elizabeth, how she conceived seed. And so what was Mary's submission then? Behold the handmaid. The word handmaid means female servant. I'm at your service. I'm here to serve you. Isn't that good to be in a business when someone is there to serve and not be served? I know when Frank was over there with training people at his business, you want to make sure those people are going to serve. They're not here to be boss. They're here to do what you're told to do. And in America, it seems like there's such a tendency to want to be bossy, want to be in show, rather than say, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to do whatever you would have me to do. It says, according to your word, I'll do what you say. In the back of her mind, I'm going to accept you. You've got to deal with Joseph. And so many times, I'm wondering, how is this going to work out? You obey what God has for you. It's amazing how God works in other people's lives. So now we want to spend much of our time with Mary's relationship to Jesus. Not just the birth, but beyond that. So now we're looking at Luke, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And one little story about that. Why were they in Bethlehem? They were on government business. Remember, Herod said, you need to go back to your hometown and register. That's the same as you got to pay your income tax on April 15. So I guess all of us, thus far this year, have worked for the government. You actually work for the government when you fill out your income tax. I started back in January to keep records, and I've never taken the time how long it takes to fill out your income tax. Maybe you have an attorney that does. It takes time. You're a government employee. Only in this place, you're working for the government and you pay the government. Unless you get a refund back. So they were there and there's no room in the inn. Why? Herod told all these relatives to come back. And there was no room. Now, I'd be interested to know, when you have a baker reunion, how many people come? Anybody have any idea? 12, 15? Higher? 20? Or how many relatives do you have when you have a baker reunion?
80.
Is that all of the relatives? Or just the ones there? If you had a baker reunion in Rocky Ridge with all baker relatives, all your cousins, would would you be at the firehouse or at the church?
Or
the football stadium. What I'm saying is there was a lot of people there. So we sometimes give that room, the innkeeper didn't have any place. Well, this was a color fest. When people try to get a motel in Thurmond during color fest, lots of luck with that. So they were there for that reason. And so Jesus was born. And what did God do? He told the shepherds about this. And so we have the story in Luke about the baby being born, and the angel talks to the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You will find a sign, find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, like in a manger. And so the shepherds have all these things. But then when we go down to verse 19, when the shepherds were talking, can you imagine? Mary's just had a baby. Now, she's not at Frederick Hospital, but suppose you had a baby at Frederick Hospital, and all of a sudden, everybody, all the farmers coming in, say, what are you doing? Well, angels came to us. And she's, really? She didn't know about that. And they're saying, the angels told us about it, and they're there, and they made haste. They found the babe, and it said, Mary, verse 19, 2:19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That word pondered means to think over, to think through, to mull together. It's kind of like kneading dough or your food mixing things together. Part of the problem I find in America right now, we don't take time to just think things over. What's going on? We've seen, I don't know why they call people, oh, they're Russians. We're the Russians ones. My wife and I had to go to Arlington Cemetery 2 weeks tomorrow. Down Interstate 270, 8 o'clock in the morning. Are you serious? Those people do that every day, down and back? I mean, I told my wife, I think I aged a year just between her and Arlington. 6 lanes of traffic. Speed check my radar, 5 mile an hour. So we rush, we rush, we rush. We just need to get to where we can think over what is God doing in our life? What is God doing in our church? What's God doing in our country? What's God doing in our own life? And so Mary's mulling over, what's this mean? And he was born in a manger. The people that say Jesus was born to a single homeless girl, one fellow said he was put in a dirty feed trough at the farm. I know that guy's a city guy. He's not a farmer. You don't put dirt. It may look dirt to you, but the cows know. I tell you this, the cows can tell between silage and dirt. It's amazing what they can do. So we believe Jesus was placed in a manger, is the place where they kept newborn sheep, and they wrapped them in their swaddling clothes so they wouldn't endanger themselves. So it was easy when the angel said, go to the manger. They knew where that was. Interesting that Jesus was placed in a place where lambs are. Now later on, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So these shepherds may have had some idea. Is there some significance? He's of the tribe of Judah. He's related to David. He's born where sheep are, and sheep are bringing sacrifice, and he's going to save us from our sins. So she's mulling over all these things. I wonder how it would be. Then in chapter 2, verse 35, when they went to the temple, when Christ was 8 days old and was presented there. And his fellow Simeon made some very interesting comments to Mary. A sword shall pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. A sword. Here's just a baby. Simeon is saying, Mary, you're going to go through great sorrow. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But think, here's a little baby. And a man says, and there's two words for sword. We would use it, pocket knife and a great big butcher knife. There's a difference between a pocket knife and a butcher knife. This is that great big sword that just cuts through you. It will pierce through your own soul. So you're thinking, Mary's thinking, he is the Messiah. I wonder how this is going to happen. You're mulling over in your mind a little baby in sorrow. Our son Steve was born in 1968. I had been brought home from the hospital. He was a little bassinet in our living room. I got a call from a lady in our church. Her son was a Marine in Vietnam. He just stepped off a boat onto the shore on a landmine, and it blew off both of his legs. Okay, Butch is still alive. I mean, my heart sunk when I heard that. He did survive in the Philippines for a long time, in the Philadelphia hospital a long time. He had these artificial legs. Came back to our church, said, I want to get baptized, but I got a problem. My legs are buoyant. If my legs get out from under me, I'm going to sink. So I've never done this in my life, but I baptized somebody. I baptized him up against the side and made sure the legs didn't get under him. He survived. But when all that's going on, I thought, what have we done? I brought a son into the world, and American kids are getting their legs blown off. Thankfully, it didn't happen to Steve. He survived very well. And now his oldest son is now in the military in Georgia. So you wonder, I hear people say they don't want to have any children because the world is so bad. We want to have children because the Lord is so good. We don't know what all is going to happen. Think about me. I was born in 1938. When I went in first grade at Lewis Hall Elementary School, 6 million Jews had been killed. By the time I was born, first grade. That's not very good, but the Lord brought me through. I had cousins in the war, thankfully, all 9 of them, both Pacific and Europe. They all survived. One of them did get a fatal disease and died shortly after. But it's never been a good time. Man is never good. God is always good. So here she's having this sorrow. Wonder what this should mean. So then we go over to Luke, and he's now 12 years old. Remember the trip to Jerusalem? And his parents went to Jerusalem. And when he was 12 years old, some things happened. And Dan's going to tell us what happened when he was 12 years old in Jerusalem.
Luke 2:48-50. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement.
One of the things about parents is be discerning about children as they grow up. When our children are growing up, I explain to my wife this. It takes me a couple of months to grow ripe tomatoes, but they die on the first frost. We're raising children. It'll take about 18 years, but that's eternal. So here we have looking at what does this mean? Here he is, 12 years old. Look at another thing. You mothers, would you say your children were never perfect? You were never perfect. Your parents were never perfect. Your kids were not perfect. Grandkids, a little closer. Steve told my grandsons when they grew up, You get away with things that my dad would not let me get away with. But think about it. You're a mother. Your child is perfect. Any mistakes are yours. That's a track record you're going to have to really deal with. So here is Mary. At the age of 12, Jesus is telling her, I must be about my Father's business. So he knew what was there. What I try to do when our children are growing up is to evaluate what the Lord may be doing with them. Our daughter, at a very young age, had a great interest in music, piano, and singing. She did an awful lot of crying when she was infant. She had colic, so her voice, her vocal cords got trained very early, being loud and singing. And so we knew that God would use Beth in music. And for a while, she taught music in a Christian school in Pennsylvania. In the church, she takes care of all the music. Our son, Steve, I don't know, maybe 4, 5, 6 years old. I'm not sure how old it was. I looked out one day, and he had gone into my toolbox and got wrenches and took the training wheels off his bike so he could spin and do all kind of crazy things. But I thought, wait a minute. I did not get angry. I believe he's got mechanical abilities because he knew what my toolbox was. He knew which wrench it was. He was able to get the wheels off, and I saw him get down the street. Rather than be angry, I thought, that's great. Today, he's part of the leadership of a large air conditioning company in Washington, D.C. So as children get older, we can see how God is leading them. Then in John chapter 2, we have Jesus at the wedding, and there's some things there that Dan's going to read about Jesus when he was probably about 30.
John 2:1-5. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come yet. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it.
So when children are growing up, eventually they're going to be in charge. From what I was told, my dad was the patriarch of the Marx family. When it came time to harvest wheat or make hay or corn, he would work with his brothers, Alan and Clarence, my uncles. And he would kind of coordinate things. He was the oldest son, the administrator of his dad's estate when my granddad died. And since he was 41 when I was born, somebody said to my dad one time, when they realized there's a Marx boy going to be growing up here, they said to my dad, what are you going to do if your son wants to do something different? And dad said, his idea might be better. So as I look back, I could see that my dad was giving me more responsibilities as I was growing up as a teenager. And when I was younger, my mother and dad were always home when I came home from school. That's your parents like that too. When you came down off that school bus, they were there. But as I look back, as I get in my senior years, mother and dad would purposely not be home. And dad would tell me, when you get home, take the John Deere and do this or that, or take the horses and do this and that. I could see that my dad was setting me up to run the farm, which would have happened when God called me to the ministry. And so I went in a different direction. So we see our children growing up, and there comes a time we turn it over to them. Let them do it. And so it finally, Mary said, whatever he says to you, do it. We're not going to be around forever. I'll see you even in churches. The younger people may do things a little bit differently. I may outlive all of them, I don't know. But I think at my age, I'm probably more than halfway through life. At my age, I doubt I'd go that far. That's part faster than what Moses did. So she recognized Christ's leadership. That's what we're going to say today. Whatever the Lord tells us to do, we do it. Then we have one more. John 19, 25-27, and Dan will read that. You'll recognize the story.
Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by her, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home.
Have you ever thought about Mary at the cross? As a parent, that to me is a serious story. Can you imagine Mary standing at the cross, knowing Jesus is the Son of God, came into her body by the Holy Spirit, her Son is perfect. I'm sure all of us, if one of our children would be executed for a crime he did not commit. I don't know about you. I would not be quiet. You think I'm calm. You should see what a ruckus. Here is Mary seeing her son. She knows the story. Maybe she's thinking, maybe that's what Simeon meant, the temple. Maybe there were things happening. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." How does a lamb take away sin? Lamb dies. So I'm not sure theologically all that she thought, but can you imagine how she felt at that time? So we have Jesus taking care of his mother. We believe that he's talking to John. John the disciple took care of his mother. So he took care of his mother in the final days. We don't have a record in the Bible that Mary saw Christ after his resurrection, except Paul says that Jesus appeared to over 500 people. So I believe in the scriptures here, if you read through there, the disciples gathered. Can you imagine how Mary must have felt on the resurrection morning, knowing her son is who he said he is? He's the Son of God. He died on the cross, take away our sins. One time Mary did say, "I have faith in God my Savior." So Mary is not a Savior, but like us, she has a Savior. And she knew about Jesus dying for her and having salvation through her. So Mary's life was not easy. There's another thing we're not totally sure. I'm telling you all this, and we believe this. There's a reference in one of the Bible verses where the Pharisees argued with Jesus. And they finally said, "We're not born of fornication." I wonder if they had an idea. Jesus was born before Joseph was on the scene as the father. He was the adopted father. But we're wondering whether people believe Mary's story always. And so all this, I think Mary had to live a very interesting life. At one time, Mary came with Jesus for special attention. And what did Jesus say? "This is my brother. This is my mother. This is my father." So Mary doesn't have anything more than we do. We're considered part of God's family. Isn't it great to be part of God's family? When we got married, I became part of Jackie's family. And one day I said to my brother-in-law, Pete, I'm sure glad I don't have any brothers, but I have a brother-in-law. He said, "Sam, you are my brother." That encouraged me to know that my brother-in-laws accepted me in the family. Aren't you glad the day that God accepts you in his family? Through the new birth, through being born again, through accepting Christ as Savior. One last verse I'm looking at And that's found in Acts 1:14. I thought, very significant verse. Jesus ascends to heaven. He tells them to go back and wait for the promise of the Spirit, which is Acts 2, which is the day of Pentecost. In 2 weeks will be the day of Pentecost. If I'm in Acts 1 today, and Acts 2 talks about the day of Pentecost that we celebrate in 2 weeks, have you any idea where my sermon might be in 2 weeks, if the Lord tarries? But before that, it's very interesting. Acts 1:14. When they went back, it says, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. There's something about praying together. Something about people praying together. My wife and I pray together every evening for 60-some years. And to have that prayer together, it says, with the wind, it's amazing. It says, these all continue with one accord, supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. I've often wondered, why did they put in here that Mary was in the prayer meeting? I think it was that after she did everything that had to be done for him on earth, he's now going to heaven. My final point, she helps sustain the believers. Some of the greatest things I know about pastors are how they pray. At New Carrollton Bible Church, at one time, we had a prayer meeting 6 a.m. every morning. The elders and the deacons. You know who was the last guy to show up? Me. Now, I was embarrassed. Elders and deacons getting up and praying while I'm sleeping in. No way, Jose. And those years that we spent are the greatest years in that church. The greatest things that I know about people are how they pray together. We need one another. We need to pray for one another. And Mary was part of the church, the early church, and not prominent, but part of that church. May each of us be faithful to one another and to the Word of God. Let's bow down in prayer. Father, we give thanks for Mary. Thank you for the fact that she was willing to be the mother of the Messiah, and then she fulfilled that responsibility. And then after Jesus ascended to heaven, her son, she's with the believers. May each of us be faithful to you, to your will, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
We have one more hymn. beautiful song. If you would please stand. Hallelujah. It's always a privilege to stand here, fill in for Sister Debbie. Hallelujah. We thank you for your promises, Lord. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Did you have another one?
Yeah, this is it. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, sister.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, we go.